Hoffman coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Well, Rocket can. Five questions, five answers. Let's not even waste five more seconds. It's time to get to Onside's Offside. Connor Green, hit it!
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
I got to give credit where credit is due. So we were just talking about the whole Urban Meyer conversation, how Big Noon Kickoff on Fox is in Lincoln, Nebraska. So I then said, all right, I'll tweet about it. And I just tweeted this out. I wonder where and with whom Urban Meyer is eating dinner tonight with Big Noon Kickoff on Fox at Nebraska tomorrow. First response, Renshaw Fantasy, Connor. And you appreciate a good tweet because you have a lot of good, funny tweets. How many restaurants does he own in Lincoln? Is there an Urban Meyer Pint House in Lincoln, Nebraska?
I still can't believe that story from last year. How do you not fly home with the team and go to your own restaurant and then be caught on camera with the girl and then have the whole excuse about how they wanted a picture, I didn't know. I mean, it was so embarrassing and terrible.
My fingers were in a certain spot where they shouldn't be just because they were there. Like, what? It was so stupid because he really thought he could just simply not fly back with the team and then go out in public. And no one really bat an eye at it. Like, you're Urban Meyer, dude. You're not Joe Schmo. You're not some long snapper.
And you're not at some private club where they, you know, discourage taking pictures. You're at your own restaurant in Ohio. You don't think someone's going to recognize you there? It's called the Urban Meyer Pint House. When you walk in, people are going to be like, oh, my God, there's Urban Meyer.
That's a really good tweet.
So what an embarrassment.
The Urban Meyer Pint House opening in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Number one, Zach, the Chargers fell to the Chiefs 27-24 last night, despite leading 17-7 in the third quarter. And this comes after nearly blowing a 17-3 lead against the Raiders last week and missing the playoffs last season after being upset by the Raiders in Week 18, a game that included a questionable timeout call from head coach Brandon Staley in the fourth quarter. So onsides or offsides? If the Chargers somehow manage to miss the playoffs this season, with all the talent on their roster, Brandon Staley should be fired.
Now, let me be clear. I don't think they're missing the playoffs, but if they do miss the playoffs, Brandon Staley, you better have all your items ready to go in your office into a cardboard box, because that will be it for you. There's no way you could justify bringing back Brandon Staley when the team is this talented and made all those moves that they did this offseason and you missed the playoffs. And if I'm Sean Payton, I'm sitting back right now. I'll make my comments about Aaron Rodgers and how the guy's acting like a jackass. I'll entertain the Dallas Cowboys because you got to have insurance in case the plan doesn't go the way that you want it. But I'm sitting back in my palatial estate, and I'm waiting for it to get a little bit colder outside, put the feet up, maybe have an adult beverage in hand, get a nice little lamb chops on the grill, something like that. And I'm lighting a fire, and I'm just hoping that either the Denver Broncos or the Los Angeles Chargers fail immensely this year. Because I look at both those rosters and I say, would you rather be the coach of the Broncos or the Cowboys? Would you rather be the coach of the Chargers or the Cowboys based off talent? And there's more talent in Denver, and there's more talent in Los Angeles. So those are the three options. That's the lay of the land this year if I'm Brandon Staley. And I'm saying to myself, or if I'm Sean Payton, I'm saying I hope Staley or Hackett really mess it up. And if not, then I'll go take the drama Dallas choking Cowboys job. Now, I don't think the Dolphins are going to get rid of Mike McDaniel after a year, but they were interested in Sean Payton before. So that's also maybe something to monitor. But the Dolphins are off to a 1-0 start, and maybe they go to 2-0 after playing the Ravens this upcoming weekend. So you ask me, the Chargers managed to miss the playoffs this season. With all the talent on the roster, Brandon Staley should be fired. Oh, yeah, absolutely on sides.
Now, what if they go, let's say, 9-8 or 10-7, get into the playoffs, but don't win a playoff game?
Nah, he'll be back.
So it makes the playoffs, he's back.
Yeah, If he makes the playoffs, you just bare minimum have to make the playoffs or else this season is a disaster. If they miss the playoffs, he's gone.
Number two.
Unless the Chargers are just cheap.
Number two, it came in a rainstorm, but Trey Lance struggled in his first start with the 49ers on Sunday.
That just wasn't a rainstorm.
It was a monsoon. Yeah. It was a nasty day.
That was wild.
Yeah, it's hard to really judge anything that happened in that game because of how bad the weather was.
And also, you couldn't see it. I felt like every time they put that game on red zone, you needed binoculars. The rain was just everywhere. The only thing that you really clearly saw was at the end of the game, Justin Fields slide across the turf. That was it.
That's why it's got an eye on football. You got the weather reports at 12 p.m. So if you have a kicker in one of the games or a fantasy situation, you at least get a heads up on that.
Yeah, we try to keep our eye on football. I couldn't keep my eyes on that game. It was impossible to see.
Lance went 13 for 28 through the air, just 164 yards, no touchdowns. And the Bears upset the Niners 19-10 at Soldier Field.
Ugly score, too, 19.
19-10.
Yeah.
And a report came out earlier this week. Jason Lockenfora says that the 49ers lose to the Seahawks in week two, that Trey Lance will be benched in favor of Jimmy Garoppolo. So onsides or offsides, if the Niners lose this Sunday, you expect Jimmy G to start in week three.
Now, was that a report or was that Jason Lockenfora giving his opinion? Because sometimes Lockenfora is no longer the big-time insider for CBS. He still does work for CBS Sports HQ, hosts a very good radio show in Baltimore, and does like a bunch of other 9,000 different things when it comes to covering football. I like JLC. I'm a fan of JLC. But sometimes when you're in that role as the guy that everyone says is the insider and you just give an opinion, people then misconstrue that for a report. So was that an opinion or a report?
From what I read, it seemed as though he had some source in the Niners front office that apparently they feel the pressure if they go 0-2 that they would then consider moving to Jimmy G.
Now, I just searched Jason Lockenfora, Jimmy G. I wonder which way he's rooting for. September 11th, week one, that Sunday at 3:37 p.m. So that was in the fourth quarter. I don't think the game was over yet. It was close to wrapping up. Yeah, I'd go with Jimmy G right friggin' now. That was JLC.
There are a lot of people in the media that are really, really supportive of Jimmy G. Even though he does have limitations, there are a lot of people that have come out and really defended the fact that he should be the starting quarterback.
Well, it's sports talk radio gold. It's debate gold. Because you have the youngster in Trey Lance, and Jimmy G, no matter what people now will say in revisionist history, was never looked at like a great quarterback, but he got them to a Super Bowl. He also got to another NFC title game. So it makes it a situation where, you know, that guy's not really that great, but he wins. And then the other guy, right away, can you produce or not? Like, when I was in Philadelphia, it was so obvious at the time that the Eagles should stay with Carson Wentz. He was a number two overall draft pick. But Nick Foles, who everyone knows never had long success in the league, just won them the Super Bowl. And I could do a show. I wouldn't even try to talk about it at times. And people call me up on WIP 97.5, whichever station I was at the time. And people would just say, oh, I want to talk about Foles. Oh, I want to talk about Carson Wentz. And then if you actually, as the host said, Carson Wentz and Nick Foles in the same sentence, you had full lines the entire show. So that's why it's there's no great answer either way. And one's based off potential, and the other is, okay, we've seen him win games, but no one really actually believes he's that great. So that's why it's an awesome topic. Did you ask me the question yet? Sorry.
I did. So do you expect,
if the Niners lose this Sunday, do I expect Jimmy G to start in week three?
Yep.
No, I would go offside.
Offside.
But I've also been under the belief that Jimmy G shouldn't play this year unless you have an injury to Trey Lance. However, you lose to the Bears and the Seahawks, then you have the Broncos and the Rams. You think the conversations are loud now. Just wait. If the 49ers start, dare I say it, 0-4. Bare minimum. Actually, they're going to be 1-3. I think they win this week. Then they lose to the Broncos, they lose to the Rams. And then you have the Panthers and the Falcons, and you better win both those games if you're Trey Lance. Because then, once again, it picks back up, conversation starter. Anytime Trey Lance makes a mistake, it's putting Jimmy G. And then when Jimmy G gets onto the field, if he does, anytime he makes a mistake, it's it's going to be, oh, should we go back to Trey Lance? There's really no right answer unless you have someone just dominate. I don't know if either of these guys will ever dominate this year.
What percent chance do you think Jimmy G will start a game this season outside of Lance getting injured?
Oh, see, you give the unless Lance gets injured.
Outside of Lance getting injured.
Before the start of the season, I would say 5%. I would say 5% before the start of the season. After one game and being a sucker for all the conversation, Jimmy G starting one game, not injury, I'd go 38%.
38%, wow. It's a pretty big jump.
After 1 week, that is one giant step.
Number three, initially reports said that Dak Prescott would miss 6 to 8 weeks after undergoing surgery on his right thumb. Then earlier this week, Jerry Jones said he believes the initial reports were incorrect and that he believes Prescott can return within the next 4 weeks.
What does that mean? He believes the initial reports were incorrect. You know what the medical information is.
Unless maybe they gave him a longer window so that when the surgery went well, we can be like, okay, actually, it's only 4 weeks. It was a really great surgical process and
Jared,
all that.
Just so you don't fall out of the rocking chair, we're going to tell you it's 3 to 8 weeks. Just to appease Jerry
Just to make
Jones.
Jerry happy.
I don't know why I went into like a southern accent there. I guess it was the Jera. I love calling Jerry Jones Jera.
So Jerry thinks that he can return possibly within the next 4 weeks. In those 4 weeks, the Cowboys play the Bengals this week, then the Giants, Commanders, and Rams. So onsides or offsides, with Cooper Rush at quarterback, the Cowboys will win at least two of those games.
Two?
And be in second place in the NFC East when Dak Prescott returns.
Two.
Possibly this week against the Bengals. I doubt it. But
They're
then
not beating the Bengals
this
week.
You get Carson Wentz and the Commanders and the Giants.
You know I can't stand Carson Wentz. The Commanders will win this week. They're going to start the year off 2-0. And if you have Carson stinking Wentz against Cooper Rush, the Commanders will win. Ugh, this easy Commander schedule is gift-wrapping Carson Wentz some wins. The guy almost threw the game away last week, and everyone goes, oh, he threw four touchdowns, had a great touchdown late. What about the two interceptions? And what about the fact that they're playing the Jaguars? Trayvon Walker's first ever NFL interception, the first-round pick, first overall pick, it was the easiest one I'll ever get in his career. But you asked me, with Cooper Rush at quarterback, the Cowboys will win at least two of those games when you said the Bengals, Giants, Commanders, and Rams, and be in second place in the NFC East when Dak Prescott returns. Yeah, no. Emphasis on the no. Offsides.
Offside.
Number four, the Bengals revamped their offensive line this offseason, adding center Ted Karras, guard Alex Kappa, and tackle Lyle Collins. But the retooled offensive line was manhandled by the Steelers in week one. They allowed 7 sacks as the Bengals lost 23-20 at home to Pittsburgh.
Now Alex Highsmith had 3 of them.
Yeah.
He's supposed to join us today, but then he had to schedule to a later week because he had a massage appointment moved back. So
things happen. What can you do?
Yeah, we're only on for the next 4 hours. How long is that massage taking?
You got to get ready for Sunday.
To me. 20 minutes before the interview. Yeah, he's getting a massage. Okay, how about all these other times that we have? Yeah, thanks for your understanding. It's just not going to work this week. The appointment just got moved back. Okay.
It's the massage and then the cool down after the massage.
Well, to be fair, if I got a massage, the last thing I would want to do is then do a radio interview or any type of interview. That was a very peaceful moment. I would then probably, after the massage, go out if I am an NFL player, get a great dinner. Maybe, I don't know if he's married or not, but
a nice relaxing night.
Take your missus out for a little relaxing night, then you go home and not think about me. So, we've had Alex on before. He's excellent. I was just really looking forward to the conversation because, I don't know, TJ Watt is now out for the Steelers, and Ben Roethlisberger just said that he's going to be a force to be reckoned with when talking about Alex Highsmith. So, it is what it is.
So it's only 1 week, but after allowing 7 sacks last week, the offensive line may still be an issue in Cincinnati. So onsides or offsides. Despite the poor play up front, you're still confident that the Bengals will win the AFC North.
It's either going to be them or the Bengals. The Ravens or the Bengals. Those are the only two teams I could envision winning the North this year. I know the Steelers just won. but I don't trust their quarterback situation throughout the season. And I know the Browns won last week, but with Watson being out the first 11 games, yeah, I'm not buying into that team. Even though the Browns will probably start off 2-0 because they play the Jets this weekend. You think your Jets have a shot to win this game?
No chance. They're going to go winless until Zach Wilson comes back.
Let me ask you this way. If they started Mike White this week, do you think they'd have a chance?
I think they'd have a better chance.
Yeah.
Like, Mike White's not a terrific quarterback, but no. It seems like whenever he gets on the field, he makes something happen at least. Joe Flacco, I have zero confidence in, zero faith in. They'll be winless until Zach Wilson returns if Flacco keeps starting.
I understand that they made big offensive line moves, and last week it was the disaster. I got to think those offensive line moves will pay off. So since I picked the Bengals in the North before the year started, even though the Ravens were my Super Bowl pick, I'll still give the edge to the Bengals because I just have so much confidence in Joe Burrow. So, yeah, it may not sound like I'm confident, but I am confident the Bengals winning the AFC North on sides. That wasn't very convincing.
It might take a little while for those guys like to gel together on the offensive line, but they should have a good offensive line this year.
You would hope it can't. You would think it can't be worse than what it was last year. And then week one, your quarterback almost got killed.
Right. Unless all these guys just fell off a cliff at the exact same time, they should eventually figure it out.
And they should have won that game. That extra point, if it doesn't get blocked, they win. So, hey, it is what it is. Final one. Let's go. Take us home.
Number five, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers will return to action on Sunday night. They take on the Bears at Lambeau Field. Packers offense struggled mightily in week one without Davante Adams. Aaron Rodgers went without a touchdown pass as Green Bay lost 23-7 to the Vikings. So onsides or offsides, the Packers offense will bounce back from their week one loss like they did last year and get back on track Sunday night against the Bears.
The Bears suck. Okay? They won last week. If the Bears win back-to-back games, this football season's just going to be stupid drunk. Aaron Rodgers made it clear last year. He owns the Bears. Aaron Rodgers, I don't know if it'll be pretty. I don't know if it'll be ugly. But he'll find a way to get the job done up against the Bears. So you ask me, the Packers offense will bounce back from the week one loss like they did last year and get back on track on Sunday night against the Bears. Mm-hmm. Onside. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
The Zach Gelb Show is on the air across the nation on CBS Sports Radio. Here's Zach Gelb.
So the Rams play the Falcons this weekend at SoFi Stadium. Connor Green, you're a man that just always is behind the numbers. You're a real erudite dude. You went to Syracuse, so according to everyone in the media world, you got to be so intelligent.
It's the Harvard of Central New York.
Yeah. How much of a chance do you give the Falcons to win the game?
I'd give the Falcons about a 25% chance.
Wow.
I mean, Matt Stafford
25.
In the opener.
25.
Matt Stafford in the opener did not look right. After his elbow surgery this offseason, he had balls that he was throwing that were absolute floaters, very few completions more than 15 yards from the line of scrimmage. Everything was short, and the stuff that he was trying to throw deep was sailing on him, complete duck. So until I actually see that, okay, that was just the opener, he's got to settle down a little bit, and that his arm strength is not completely shot after surgery, I think the Falcons have a chance to win.
All right. What was your number one more time? Just give me that one more time.
I give it a 25% chance.
25. Yeah, I would say like 7. Now, ESPN has this football power index where they throw these numbers out there each and every week on the matchup predictor. I don't know how their numbers are calculated, but they put 18.3%. So you're pretty close.
It's not bad.
18 to 25, that's not that big of a difference. So the reason why I bring up this game, because it's one of those irrelevant games this weekend, the Rams should destroy the Atlanta Falcons. So the Atlanta Falcons, their season may have peaked in the first three quarters of week one when they're up 26-10, and then you let Michael Thomas go get two touchdowns and you find a way to lose to the Saints after being up 26-10 in the fourth quarter and you had the audacity of their head football coach, Arthur Smith, trying to tell everyone how keep on writing what you've been writing. You know, what did you guys rank us 45th in the league this year? We're going to prove you wrong. Both these guys, Arthur Smith and Robert Saleh this week, and we've been talking about it throughout the week, and we played you the quotes. Anytime you're picking a fight with fans, predictions, the media, when your football team is bad, you usually don't win, and it usually causes more attention towards your team because you start to become coaches that are not likable. And you start to make people, or you dare people, to basically want to throw it back in your face. But the reason why I bring up this Rams game is Jalen Ramsey plays for the Los Angeles Rams. You know how great he can be. In week one, though, he was like burnt toast. So Jordan Rodriguez, who covers the LA Rams, this is what she tweeted out a few moments ago. Seems like every week a new cool detail about Raheem Morris's coaching style is revealed. Jalen Ramsey said Morris stopped by his house, no occasion and unannounced, just to hang out for a while and check up on him this week. When I hear that, Connor, that reads to me, and Jalen Ramsey's great. Man, that dude played so poorly. Maybe we're a little bit concerned that he's getting up there in age. Maybe we're concerned that he's going to enter a little bit of a funk or there's going to start to be some regression. Yeah, if one of your coaches stopping by at your house unannounced, just randomly popping up, just to see how you're doing, let's hang out, break bread and do all that. Seems like the Rams are a little bit worried about Jalen Ramsey.
Maybe his confidence is a little bit shot. You know, he's a little bit of a trash talker. He's talking trash on Thursday night, and then Stephon Diggs is just roasting him deep. So maybe he needs a little visit from the head coach to get his confidence back up. But I'm not exactly sure. But it is weird to have, I mean, you're at the facility with Jalen Ramsey all the time, so why not just say whatever you have to say to him then?
And this is your defensive coordinator, Raheem Morris. So Sean McVay, yes, McVay has a great personality. Yes, McVay is able to connect with so many guys on the team. But we know Sean McVay made a name for himself in this league because of what he does on the offensive side of the ball. So this is basically your defensive head coach saying, a little bit worried about my star player in Jalen Ramsey. Now, I also saw that Jalen Ramsey said, I take it as a compliment that people don't think I ever played a bad game. I mean, bleep. I guarantee that wasn't my worst game I've ever played. If that is what people think, bleep, I've been doing well for myself. So there's Jalen Ramsey. I got to talk up my bad performance. Yeah, it was bad, but it wasn't the worst game that I've ever played. I've played worse. It's almost as you're starting to sound a little bit desperate. Now, I don't think this is going to be that big of a deal throughout the entire duration of the season, and you would anticipate that Jalen Ramsey gets back to not being what he was on the first Thursday night game of the season. But maybe the bigger point here, and forget about the player that we just mentioned, Jalen Ramsey, but it shouldn't be surprising when these big-time players in the first week or two or three of the season, especially when like they don't play in the preseason, struggle early on. And we've seen that. Last year, Rodgers and the Packers stunk it up in week one. We've seen other players, Jalen Ramsey, stink it up in week one. Because even though I hate the preseason, even though I think the preseason is monotonous, it does reacclimate the body into football shape. Because there's a difference in being in shape and then in football shape and in game shape. And a lot of these guys, they have tremendous bodies and they look like they're in great shape, but you need to then be in football shape. And we've already seen this now for the last few years and even more now with them reducing a preseason game. And a lot of coaches just saying, like the Rams, thanks, but no thanks. We're not even going to really participate, our main guys, in the preseason. There is a carryover effect. So I think a lot of people look at the Rams as, oh, it's a Super Bowl hangover. It's Super Bowl hangover. I think it's just naturally what is becoming a regularity in this sport that the preseason isn't taken all that seriously as it once was. The joint practices are the big thing when you bring in a team for 2 days and you go up against them and all these fights happen. And that's why when you have a team like the Rams that everyone just kind of expects to be great once again, and they went up against a great team in Buffalo, but there's no reason why Buffalo should have won that game by 21 points. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Let's go to Jeff in Pittsburgh. Jeff, what do you got for me today, pal?
Hey, Galba, how's it going, man?
Jeff, I'm doing wonderful. Feeling like a million bucks today.
Yeah, me too.
You don't really sound like you're feeling like a million bucks, Jeffrey, but that's okay. What do you got?
Man, my that bag of pudding, Mraz. Man, I mean, come on, dude. I've always been Team Mraz. You know that, Gelb.
Yeah, you usually call me and you try to get me to say things negatively about Mraz.
Yes, and I've been a fan of his for a while, but this crying video, I don't know. I don't want to jump ship on him. Is it as pathetic as I think it is?
I thought it was genuine, Jeff. Now, it may be pathetic, but I thought that was a genuine reaction. I know a lot of people, and for people that don't know what we're talking about, Mraz, the producer of the DA show and co-host, he went viral this week for crying after the Giants winning week one and then getting caught on his outside door camera, freaking out and going nuts. I've watched sporting events with Mraz. That's just how the dude acts. But, Jeff, I'll take advantage of this opportunity now since I could hear the disgust in your voice when talking about Mraz. I think it's time you join the dark side and become Team Gelb.
Gelb's Gladiators.
You want to join? You could be the captain. Maybe an assistant captain.
I'll be the gladiator of Gelb's army.
Jeff, welcome aboard. We take people whenever you want to join the bandwagon. If you want to just say down with Mraz and hope he has another losing week in picks, even though I also went 0-3, we could forget about that, and we could welcome you to the Gelb's Gladiators, if that's what you want to call it.
Gelb's Gladiators. We will infiltrate the DA show.
Well, Jeff, you have a good night. Now, that's not like a war against the DA show. And I've been having fun with those picks and going back and forth with Mraz that we actually have to start picking winners. I don't know if I love Gelb's Gladiators, though, as the name that Jeff just threw out there. Like, the aliens really pops. Gelb's Gladiators, woof, woof, right? But, Jeff, if you don't want to be on Team Mraz anymore and you want to come to, as you would say, the dark side, yeah, I will not reject anyone's participation and support on this very fine radio program. All right, let's get an update in. Here's the Ackman, Rich Ackerman.
He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
And you can think of Riley Auto Parts for your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. The AFC West. There's one person that stands out. And I mean stands out in a good way. Broncos coached by Nathaniel Hackett. Chargers coached by Brandon Staley. To be determined. Raiders coached by Josh McDaniels. We got to see if Josh McDaniels can be a successful head coach in the NFL. And then you got Andy Reid. Who Andy Reid had a lot of success in Philadelphia, even though he didn't win a Super Bowl there. But 5 NFC title game appearances. And so far in Kansas City, we know he's been to many AFC championship games. He's also been to 2 Super Bowls and won one. There is such a distinct coaching advantage in the AFC West to Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs. Like the Broncos, Nathaniel Hackett looked like he couldn't even coach himself out of a paper bag on Monday night. Brandon Staley, this is why Brandon Staley's in a tough spot. And I do think the Chargers will make the playoffs this year. Staley's in a tough spot because his aggressiveness got him a lot of praise early on last year in the first half of the season. Then the aggressiveness, because the 50-50 game didn't work out in the second half. So there was such a big time attention on his failures that now going into this year, I know he said he's not going to scale it back. But there were moments last night, like when they took that field goal early on 4th and 2, when they were inside Kansas City's 25-yard line, I was stunned. I thought they were going to go for it because that's just the way that the aggressive nature of Brandon Staley is. So for Brandon Staley, it's like damned if you do, damned if you don't. That you go be aggressive and it doesn't work, oh, everyone's going to kill you. Then you're aggressive and it does work. Well, people then say, yeah, it's not going to work out in the long term. And this is a major year for Brandon Staley because you already have a year under your belt. And you got to go make the playoffs with the Los Angeles Chargers. And for Josh McDaniels, I'm a believer in Josh McDaniels. That offensive line, though, is problematic. Defensively, other than Jones and Crosby, they don't have much on the defensive side of the football. But for Josh McDaniels, as much as I like him as a coach, we know the last time, well over a decade ago, when he was a head coach, it did not work out all too well for him when he was the coach at the time for the Denver Broncos. Now, there's a lot of reasons why you may side with Kansas City, and this division is far from over. You obviously love Mahomes. Reed's a fantastic coach. That defense has been playing better through the first two games of the season than at any point, really, that the way that they performed the last 2 years. So maybe they're getting back to being a serviceable defense, a timely stop type of defense. And that's the way that that defense was able to help the Kansas City Chiefs win a Super Bowl 3 years ago. But in a year where we go into the AFC West, and it's, wow, this is the best division in football. Wow, this may be the best division we've ever seen. Wow, Justin Herbert. Wow, Patrick Mahomes. Wow, Devontae Adams. Russell Wilson. All the moves the Chargers made on defense. Everything that you talk about in the AFC West, talk a little bit more about the coaching. I know what I'm getting out of Andy Reid. I don't know what I'm getting out of Nathaniel Hackett this year. Nathaniel Hackett, let's be real. What he did in week one was maybe one of the worst NFL debuts I've ever seen from a head coach. He looked lost. Brandon Staley, we've seen his aggressiveness work, and then we've seen it not work. And he's got it hammered for it. And now I wonder how aggressive he's going to continue to be. And for Josh McDaniels, it's, yeah, I love what he did in New England, but he doesn't have Tom Brady anymore. And last time he didn't have Tom Brady as head coach, it was an unmitigated disaster. Andy Reid, we know he's going to win 10-plus games this year. We know he has the best quarterback in the division. This is a Chiefs team that, I don't want to say people wrote them off because that would be disingenuous. But for the first time in a while, people doubted Kansas City. And I'd be lying to you if I stood here and said, oh yeah, I told you that it was going to be Kansas City win this division. I thought they were going to finish in second. And maybe they will. I picked the Chargers to win this division. Last night, you look at the numbers and the stats, and Belichick will tell you stats are for losers. A lot of stats say that the Chargers should have won that game. But when you're up by 10, not once but twice, you got to finish. Herbert, Everett, bad pick six. Then after that, 3 and out. Questions about Staley still after that game. For Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs, they sent the message the first two games of the season. Yeah, we're calm. We lose Tyreek Hill. Let Tyreek Hill run his mouth all offseason long, say how accurate Tua Tagovailoa is, how he's more accurate than Patrick Mahomes. Andy Reid knows what he got. Andy Reid knows that he has a top three quarterback in the sport in Patrick Mahomes. Andy Reid knows he still has Travis Kelce. Andy Reid knows how to win football games in the regular season. Connor, I look at this division. It's kind of crazy. From 1 to 2, in terms of whoever you think is the best coach to the second best, I don't even know how to break that down in the AFC West, how much of an advantage the Chiefs do have just because of who their head coach is.
Yeah, 100%. That's why I had them winning the AFC West coming into the year, because, you know, you look at the roster of the Chargers, you could make the argument it's better than Kansas City, in particular with their weapons and their defensive line.
I think the Chargers are the most well-rounded roster in that division.
Yeah, and then the receivers in Denver, you know, have a lot more consistency than the guys that are now playing in Kansas City, where you have Juju Smith-Schuster, who's never played on the team, and Valdez Scantling, and you didn't really know where the production was going to come from.
You know what's funny? I don't love those Denver wide receivers as much as everyone else does, but the moment you said they have more consistency than the Chiefs wide receivers, about to say, oh, what about Travis Kelce? But he's considered a tight end.
Right.
Not a bad point.
Yeah, and you look at even the way the Chiefs played last night, like, you still wonder who is going to come through as being the most reliable option at receiver.
Well, they're showing you they're going to spread this around.
They're going to spread it around. And then you wonder, like, at some point, when you need a big play, you need to kind of have that one guy.
Kelce.
And if they don't have someone outside of Kelce, then teams are just going to squat down on him. And do you really have faith in, you know, Watson or Valdez Scantling or any of these guys? Like, I don't. But even with that being said, having Andy Reid makes such a big difference, because he's the best offensive coach, I think, in the NFL. This team has been here before. They won't panic. Where Josh McDaniels is now coaching for the first time since his stint in Denver, he wasn't great there. Nathaniel Hackett made the single worst coaching decision maybe in the history of the NFL on Monday night. And Brandon Staley has shown that even though the Chargers are extremely talented, they didn't go to the playoffs last year, and there's a lot of games where I think they outplay the other team and don't win. So that's what gives KC the edge. I think if you put Andy Reid as the head coach of the Chargers, they win the division.
Oh, yeah. That's a great take that you just had. If Andy Reid's coaching the Chargers, yeah, they win the division. And for years, I don't want to use the word overrated, but for years, Andy Reid just always had this stigma that he was a really, 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 really good coach, but not a great coach because he didn't win a Super Bowl. But now, since winning that Super Bowl, you see all the great regular seasons that he has with a Super Bowl title. He has a great, an all-time great resume. But you look division by division, like the AFC East. You know what Belichick is. You know what McDermott is. I don't know what Robert Saleh is. I still don't know what Mike McDaniel is after one game. The AFC North, Tomlin, phenomenal coach. Harbaugh, phenomenal coach. Zach Taylor had the Bengals in the Super Bowl. We'll see what Stefanski is. AFC South, Vrabel, really good coach. Doug Peterson has won a Super Bowl. Lovie Smith has been in a Super Bowl. Frank Reich, he could be in danger of maybe getting fired this week. I said this early in the week. You start the year out 0-1-1 with how that owner is just so crazy. Yeah. Have fun losing in Jacksonville again. I don't think they will. I think they're going to win this week. You look at the NFC East, Ron Rivera, good coach. Mike McCarthy, not a great coach, someone that's losing trust. Daboll too early. Sirianni just made the playoffs last year. All right, that division does not have great coaching, the NFC East. But there's no one that is so much clearly better than the rest. Like, Ron Rivera is really good. We know what he did in Carolina, but we got to see him go have some success with the Commanders. I know they made the playoffs 2 years ago, but they were, what, 7-9? So, yeah, Rivera's probably the best coach in that division. NFC West, Pete Carroll, great coach. Sean McVay, great coach. Kyle Shanahan, really respected. Cliff Kingsbury knows how to start, doesn't know how to finish. NFC North, Campbell and Eberflus too early. O'Connell too early. Matt LaFleur, really good, but I don't think LaFleur is the one that gets most of that credit. It's Aaron Rodgers. So that's like a division that doesn't have great coaching. NFC South, Dennis Allen, not a big fan. Todd Bowles, we got to see what he could do. Matt Rhule's struggled so far. That doesn't have a lot of good coaching. But it's not as if any of those guys are so much significantly better than any of the other coaches in that NFC South. You know, where it's like an obvious slam dunk. So you look at the AFC West when you just go through all the divisions. Like, who is the second best coach in that division? Andy Reid is the best coach in that division by far. Nathaniel Hackett's one game in. Brandon Staley's a season in. And I think Josh McDaniel is a good coach, but is he a good head coach? That's a distinct advantage that the Chiefs have inside that AFC West, that it's a big time factor with the fact that you have Mahomes, on why they're a team right now that, and I know the other two teams in that division haven't got to week two yet, but it's why you kind of, for most of the years, the Kansas City gets the benefit of the doubt, and then this year, boom, this division gets so tight, so close, so good, and it's like, okay, let's not forget who's on that sideline as well. Let's not forget who's coaching the Kansas City Chiefs. And if you take Andy Reid off the Kansas City Chiefs, yeah, they'd still be a heck of a football team. But it does take away that advantage when you get to the guys like Hackett and Staley and Josh McDaniels, and we just truly don't know what to expect from them. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a timeout. Let me first, though, tell you that before we get to one thought in each and every game, that this season, for the first time, you can hear every Westwood One NFL broadcast stream live for free. Mondays, Thursdays, Sunday nights, the International Series, holiday triple headers, and every postseason game. Catch all the action on the Odyssey app, on WestwoodOneSports.com, via Westwood One Station Streams, or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports, all sponsored by AutoZone. Free battery testing, free battery charging, and replacement batteries that fit your needs. That is what makes AutoZone America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone, AutoZone. When we come on back, Jersey Jerry going to join us at 9:20 p.m. Eastern, 6:20 p.m. Pacific for NFL picks. But before we do that, one thought on every game this upcoming weekend in the National Football League.